We're going to continue this morning looking at God's word in the area of filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we have said some things in this series that I would like us to pay our attention to, because I've discovered over the years that the boldness that the saint has to walk and the provisions that God has made for him or her in Christ has a lot to do with understanding the truth of God's word. In other words, you cannot walk beyond the measure of understanding that you have. And so, the moment you look at God's word, that word we're transforming into the same image simply means that our mind comes into alignment with the truth that we glean thereof. Hallelujah. So, the more facts you have, really, so in case you are thinking, oh, they are quoting so many scriptures, they are opening many passages, it's because you make a strong case for whatever you want to do in the things of the Spirit by having enough scriptural foundation that guarantees that you have a right to expect this to happen, to act this way, to operate this way. Amen. So you don't just gloss over the details, because once there's incomplete knowledge in any area, your faith will not be really effectual like it should really be. But the more details and facts you have, the more free you will be, the more liberty you are able to enjoy. Liberty that has already been given to you, but knowledge hates you to walk in. Are you in Ephesians chapter 5? All right, look at verse 16, so that it can make sense. It says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, verse 17, be ye not wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you see that? It says, be ye not wise, but what? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. So it's safe to say that thought, wisdom, be ye not unwise. You will see that it says in verse 15, see then that you walk circumflexly. That word circumflex means walk as wise people. And it says wisdom has to do with the will of God. Your understanding of the will of God is what the Bible calls wisdom. Hallelujah. So when it says be not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is, verse 18 now says, and be not drunk with wine, where meaning is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that this instruction was written to a whole church. By extension, it's written to everyone who is a believer in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That verse 18, we said last week that there's a play on words when it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The original translation actually says, keep being filled or stay filled with the Spirit. And the language used there connotes the fact that the responsibility for being filled has to do with the saint. Glory to God. So when it says, don't be unwise, but be understanding, what do unwise people do? They don't follow that instruction. Unwise people say, I'm waiting for God to move upon me. But wise people say, the Bible says, I have something to do whether I'm filled or I'm not filled. Okay, so last week we looked at scriptures. We saw the first experience when they were filled with the Spirit. We saw the activities that took place. And then we said that in the Acts of Apostles, which is an historical account, you find the experience clearly stated. But you won't really find enough to stand on as doctrine. Doctrine means that which is giving you as a basis for the practicality of something. Okay, so it's a body of teaching. It means the teaching that you need to do what they did in Acts, you won't find in the book of Acts. So you find experiences written, because it's an historical account. It's not really meant to teach, it's meant to record things that happen. So we said that we look at Old Testament prophecies and promises which God gave through different prophets that spoke about this experience before it happened. Then we now understand, why did they act the way they acted in Acts chapter 2? Because here he's writing to the Ephesian church, and it says, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, being filled per time has to do with something that the saint does. So when it says, what's the will of God? This is God having done something, having given you something, which is called the indwelling of the Spirit. He now expects you to do something about that indwelling. It's no longer God's prerogative. It's now your prerogative. So once you understand that God has given you his Spirit, and we emphasize the fact that God doesn't give his Spirit by measure. Say, God doesn't give his Spirit by measure. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 35. Because it's important. Verse 34. John chapter 3. John's Gospel chapter 3. And verse 34. This is a reference to Jesus. The Bible says, for whom God hath sent, speaketh the words of God. It's talking about Jesus. It now says, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure. Notice the word unto him is italicized. He's stating a principle. He said, when God gave his Spirit for the one that he sent, he does give by measure. In other words, the way Jesus was anointed, it was different from the way any other Old Testament prophet was anointed. So we have Jesus as a template for how does God give his Spirit. Because if you understand how God gives his Spirit, you understand why the prerogative is upon the saint who has been given the Spirit to do something with the Spirit. So God is not going to do anything about the fact that you're filled or you keep being filled again. He has done the initial infilling, which every single sin, you can't be saved without the infilling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You have the indwelling of Spirit, that's how you got saved. So he now says, keep being filled or stay in a state of continual fullness. And he says he has something to do with your activity. In other words, not something God's responsible for. So that means that I am in charge of how much of the measure of the wealth that God has made available in Christ, I walk in part time. That's what it means. It says, keep being filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. Keep being filled. The Bible says God does not give the Spirit by measure. In other words, when God gives you the Spirit, he gives you all of the Spirit there is. Not by measure. So there is no multiple anointing. There's no double portion in the New Testament. There's no such time in the New Testament. You have the Spirit, you have the Spirit. The Spirit is not in portions, it's a person. Hallelujah. It's not in portion. Every single man in Christ, because of who they are in Christ, have received the Spirit. So you have the Spirit in fullness. You have the Spirit in fullness. Hallelujah. So again, in the Old Testament scriptures, we have what you call the promises and the prophecies. Okay, that make us understand what we have to look forward to, which has now been accomplished in Christ Jesus. So things that were promises and were prophecies in the Old Testament are now fulfilled in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. Let's read from verse 18. So that contextually we can have some. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. Verse 19. For the Son of God Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Hallelujah. It's not yea, it's yea. For all the promise of God in him are what? Yes, and in him, amen. That word, all the promise of God in him are fulfilled and fulfilled. Double reference. It means all the promise of God in him are what? Fulfilled, and emphasis on fulfilled. All the promise of God in Christ, they are what? Fulfilled and fulfilled. So everything God promised he will do in the Old Testament, which were given through prophecies, they were given as promises, God has fulfilled in Christ. In other words, Christ is a fulfillment of all the prophecies and of all the word promise of God. Luke chapter 24. I'm deliberately giving us a background, because when you launch into these things, when you have a sound scriptural background, it helps you not just to walk in it, but to be able to explain the same to others. Luke chapter 24, when Jesus rose from the dead, he met two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We're going to read from verses 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses. Whenever the Bible says beginning at Moses, he's speaking about the book of Genesis. Moses wrote the book of Genesis. When it says beginning at Moses, it's at a paraphrase for looking from the beginning of the books that Moses wrote. So it says beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. Remember what was spoken to us was what we exhorted on this morning about how to study your scriptures, that when you study scriptures, the relevance of any book can be determined by how much it reveals Christ. So the degree to which a book reveals Christ is the degree of its relevance. So if it's not mentioned, it means that that book is not as relevant as you think. Hallelujah. Say amen. Have you noticed, for instance, that in the book of Hebrews, how many of us are familiar with Hebrews chapter 11? We're not going to go there. Just about that. Have you noticed that the only thing that was recorded in Moses' account was his faith? Do you notice that all the plagues in Egypt were not recorded? Because those things don't glorify Christ. Have you noticed that before? Were they mighty works? Were they recorded? No. The only thing that was recorded in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 was Moses' faith. Moses' faith. So there were things Moses did that were not necessarily in line with Christ. So the New Testament is the only way you can find that out. Okay? In Acts chapter 7, for instance, now we understand in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was testifying before the Jews, before they stoned him. One of the things Stephen brought to light was the fact that Moses received the law by the disposition of angels. You won't find that in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, all we saw that Moses met God and God gave him the law. But Stephen said, Moses received the law by the disposition of what? Angels. So the New Testament clarifies things that were once shrouded in darkness. Things that we didn't really fully understand. Did Moses ever see God? Jesus said no man has seen God at any time. But the New Testament says, Moses spoke to God face to face. So which one are you to believe? The explanation is in the New Testament. Say amen. So the New Testament now explains to you some statements that are not so clear and brings clarity. So look at what Jesus did. He expounded to them through the scriptures, starting from Moses and through all the prophets, things concerning himself. In other words, he is the explanation of scriptures. Glory to God. Are you with me this morning? John will meet verse 44. Quickly. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you. That is before he went to the cross. Jesus was speaking to disciples. He was now risen from the dead. He was giving them, this is part of the 40-day teaching that we spoke about last week that Luke recorded. Remember, Luke is the author of Luke and the author of Acts. So this is Luke now, okay? Now speaking about some of the things Jesus said in the 40 days that he appeared to them and taught them. Imagine a 40-day seminar. Must be serious. Before he ascended. So this is part of the 40 days. Now, Luke recorded in the last chapter of Luke and continues in Acts. So see what he says now. He says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? In the law of Moses. So even in law of Moses, what is written there? Facts about Jesus. Do you understand? Let's read on. He says, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. So when you are going to appropriate a Psalm, how do you choose which one to appropriate? To the degree to which is what? Reveals Christ. Say amen. I gave us an illustration last week when we looked at Psalm 27. We didn't open to it, but we opened to it one of these days. It says, the Lord is my light and my what? Salvation. Whom shall I? The Lord is the strength of my life. On whom shall I be? The next verse departs from that thought entirely. From that thought, David went after natural enemies. So if you don't know how to read, when David is speaking prophetically and when he's not speaking about the situation he's in, you will miss it. So the first verses he speaks about Christ. The next verse, when my enemies come and to eat up my flesh they stumble and fall, that's no longer Christ. Say amen. Hallelujah. You've never read Psalm 27 before? Have you read Psalm 27 before? Or is it with Psalm 23 in the room? Hallelujah. So many times he will speak of the situation he is in, then by the law of double reference, he will speak of Christ. So when you read the New Testament, it will enrich your understanding of your mind. When you're now reading Psalms, after you have spent time in the New Testament, the book of Psalms will just open up. No longer being serious. You know when there is figure of speech, you know when Christ is being mentioned, you know when they be speaking about the fact that they are really physical enemies. And that's the reason why some people just stay in the book of Psalms, and all you can see are enemies everywhere. Okay, so see what it says again. It says, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, and all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and his book prophets in the Psalms concerning me. Then open ye their understanding, that in my word, understand the scriptures. In other words, Jesus taught them. He opened the prophets and began to step by step reveal to the scripture of the prophets the things that the prophets were referring to when it concerned him. It was a teaching. That was meant to say he opened their understanding. He removed the shroud that covered the New Testament in their minds by explaining scriptures to them. Look at verse 46. And thus, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus he behoved Christ to suffer. This is a summary. All the prophets wrote, this is the summary of what they wrote. It was necessary that Christ should suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and what? Remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? Beginning where? at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, and behold, I send thee promise. Why did he just use that phrase again? That promise is a figure of speech to talk about the prophecies that God spoke of concerning the giving of the Spirit, okay, and the promises behind it. So he says, I send the promise, because at this time it was still a promise. It hadn't happened. Somebody says, why? Very simple. Jesus had not yet what? Ascended. Glory to God. If you understand, so well, let me see that. Beautiful. So he says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city, second time he's talking about Jerusalem, until you be one endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. So go into Acts now. Look at Acts chapter 1. Because we now understand that they took an informed decision. Gathering in Jerusalem wasn't a fluke. It wasn't accidental. They were acting on the teachings of Jesus. He had been instructed to tarry in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where that scripture was going to be fulfilled to start with. They were not to stay all their life in Jerusalem. They were to wait for the infilling of the Spirit. Okay? All right. Good stuff. Look at verse 1. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. Let's read. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken on, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, that is through supernatural utterance, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. That what passion means, after his resurrection, okay? His death, burial, and resurrection. And was seen of these in them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, now, we're not giving details, but from the record of Luke, we can see that Luke summarized the fact that there were things Jesus taught for 40 days that the apostles now acted on in chapter 2. Number one, we saw in the book of Luke chapter 24 that they were instructed to tarry where? In Jerusalem. So they did what? They tarried in Jerusalem until Pentecost. And when the Pentecost was fully come, they were together according to instruction. So they were acting on specific instruction that was given over a 40-day period. So when you're reading Luke 24, for instance, you are reading a summary. When you're reading Acts chapter 1, you are reading a summary. But Jesus taught them in detail. I want you to understand that there were things he couldn't say until he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 16. So you understand what we're talking about. Okay, so because once we have that background, that grasp, it becomes easy to proceed. John chapter 16, are you there? Let's read from verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Okay? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will what? Show you things to come. So, Jesus spoke to them when he was still physically with them before he went to the cross. There are many things I want to say, but you can't bear them. When Jesus used that phrase, many things, the implication is this. Most of what he taught them was small compared to what he wanted to teach them. So most of what he wanted to teach, he couldn't teach because of their spiritual state. They were not saved. Salvation couldn't be offered until Jesus rose from the dead. So Luke chapter 24 that we just read, when he had risen and they believed on him, they were already saved. But they didn't have the infilling of the Spirit yet. I will explain the difference. There's a difference. Hallelujah. So he said, there are many things I want to say, but you can't bear them. Why was he now saying those things for 40 days? Because they could now bear it. Hallelujah. They could not bear it. They were now saved. They had indwelling of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, back to that Acts chapter 1. Verse 4. Acts 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not what? Depart from Jerusalem. This is a continuation of what Luke recorded in Luke 24. Because Luke was also the author of this. Do you understand that? So he picks it up from that place and says, they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Do you notice that was recorded in Luke also? The promise of what? The Father. What's the promise of the Father? What's the promise of the Father? The giving of the Spirit. Okay, so see. Which said ye, you have heard of me? For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be one baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2 now. Now read the first four verses to make more sense. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice something interesting. They were all gathered. They were all in Jerusalem. They were all filled. They all began to speak. That sounds like an orchestration. Let me say it again. They were in Jerusalem where they tarried. When the day of Pentecost fully came, they were all filled. They all began to speak. That means everyone was doing the same thing. How is that possible? Because everyone was taught the same thing. Should I say that again? For 40 days, Jesus told them what to expect. So when you read the word suddenly here, their being filled wasn't sudden. The sound that came was sudden. But their being filled was not a surprise. Jesus spent 40 days reminding them, teaching them what they should expect. Hallelujah. So their response was synchronized. That means that why would everyone respond the same way? Because everyone was taught by the same teacher. So the same person taught them, this every one of them understood what would happen. Do you notice that by the time you get to verse 16, Peter stood up and began to explain. Where did he get the explanation from? From the things Jesus taught for 40 days. So Jesus has explained to them from the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 28. There is a prophecy that says, it shall come to pass in the last days. It shall come to pass in the last days. So Acts chapter 2 here is the beginning of the last days. And the last is a reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But let's look at it this way. They were all filled and they began to speak. If you read it in the book of Acts alone, you will think, if you don't follow up with Luke and look at Acts chapter 1, you will actually think that they were filled. And like some people think, something began to move them. No. They were taught for 40 days. What was Jesus teaching them? Now that you are all saved, you are all born again, when the Spirit is made manifest, there is a way to respond. Hence, everyone had the same thing. Go back to the Ephesians chapter 5. Let me show you something. Being filled. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Quickly. Verse 18. Alright, see, it says, and be not what? Drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be, so notice it compares being drunk with wine and being filled. What is the similarity? Influence. The similarity is there is an intoxication that comes, but what is common to both wine and the spirit? Whoever is intoxicated, affected, or influenced has to do so deliberately. So no one gets drunk accidentally. No one gets filled with spirit accidentally. The individual who wants to be filled does something. The one who wants to get drunk wine does something. So it says, be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but keep being filled with the spirit. And Paul is writing to people who were already filled. But it says, maintain a spirit-filled consciousness. Or stay filled. In other words, in Acts chapter 19, when Paul visited that church began in that place, and they were all filled, they prophesied that day. So Paul was saying that wasn't a one-off event. It wasn't meant to be just that day. You know, for some people, the greatest experiences is what they were filled with the Spirit and they spoke in tongues and they have ceased to speak. But Paul now says, keep being filled. In other words, that experience wasn't coincidental. You can continue as far as you want to go. You can have as much intensity as you want. It depends on you. What were they meant to use? Stand upon the authority of God's word. What will God's word do? Guarantee understanding. What will understanding do? It will hand you over to how that which occurred for some occasionally can become a consistent experience. So he now says, be not drunk, but be filled. Notice the phrase, be not and be. Be not and be. So that is a reference to the individual. You are the one who is responsible. It's not something God does.
What did God do for you in Christ? He ministered the Spirit to you. What do you do to keep filled? You are the one who does something. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, it's not telling you how to be filled. In what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20. Weekly. Giving thanks. People who are filled with Spirit is showing you symptoms, signs of those who are filled with Spirit. They speak in psalms, which is hymns and spiritual songs. They sing and make melody. They also give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. See what does it do? Submitting yourselves one to another. So people who are filled submit to other saints. And not envious, they're not proud, they're not arrogant. They submit to other saints. It's because they are filled with the Spirit. But look at what happened. Look, go back to that Acts chapter 2. And verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. If you're there, say amen. Alright. Let's be together. I want to go. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with psalms, hymns, and spiritual. Is that what they did? Is that what they recorded there? But what did Paul say that he would do? Did Paul say tongues in Ephesians chapter 5? Did he say tongues? What did he say in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18? In verse 19, what did he say? Speaking to yourself in what? So they were disobeying Paul here. Can't you say they were disobeying Paul? Does that not look at it? What were they speaking? Psalms, hymns. But when they were filled in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, look at what they were saying. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with as the Spirit gave them. Were they filled with the Spirit? What were they? How did they express it? How did they express it? Okay, so in Acts chapter 2, we have the experience. Now listen carefully. A law of interpreting scriptures is called the law of first mention. The law of first mention means that where you have a spiritual experience recorded in the scriptures for the first time, if you look at the principles that surround the record of that experience, you will find the principles that should undergird continuous practice of that experience. Should I say that again? The law of first mention, the first time this was experienced, this was manifest, was in Acts chapter 2. Then if you look at how they started and how they operated, you have all the principles in place for how that experience meant to continue. So the Bible says they were all filled and they began to speak with other tongues. But when Paul spoke about people being filled, what did he say? Speaking to yourselves in one? In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But here's what I want you to see. If people are filled with the Spirit, Paul says they should speak with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Paul says they should be found giving thanks regularly. In other words, people that are filled with the Spirit is an unconscious thing. They are just full of thanksgiving. Every statement that comes out, they are full of the Spirit. They just find themselves giving thanks. Then he says they also submit one to another. But we didn't see any of those things in these first four verses. Then another strange thing is this. Notice they were all filled and they all began. That means they were acting on a specific instruction. In other words, the same Spirit that Paul spoke about in Ephesians 5, that would give, if you yield to, you will bring forth psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That same Spirit, there's a way to cooperate with that Spirit. How do you cooperate with that Spirit? Jesus must have told them, you will have utterance given to you. Give expression to that utterance if you want to continue any further. In other words, they began with tongues, but they didn't stop with tongues. Should I say that again? They began here in Acts chapter 2 with tongues, but they didn't stop with tongues. So tongues was the beginning. It was a means to an end. So when Paul was instructing them in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, when he says, speaking to yourselves in what? In psalms and hymns. Look at Acts chapter 19 so you understand what Paul meant. Because if you don't look at it that way, you will think the instructions are contrary. They are not. They are in tune. Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, this same Ephesian church, how did they begin? How did they start? Let's see how they began in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 from verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Okay? Now, I trust that as we go on, we also go to look at the word receive, because, you know, Pastor Zulu said something earlier about the fact that reading or studying Greek and Hebrew words is a mighty assist to understanding scriptures. Why? The English language is heavily limited in how to convey certain thoughts that were originally written. For instance, the word receive here, in English it sounds like to collect something from someone. But the original Greek, the word that was used, is to take something that has already been handed over to you that you have not yet used. But if you just read in English, it looks like you are waiting for them to give you something. But the original Greek means that you have been given, go and take it. That's what the word means. Do you see the difference? So what else have you received since you believe? It's actually saying, when people believe in Christ, they should go and take hold of something. You have already believed. You don't ask God for it. Notice this say, has God given you the Spirit since you believe? No. Because you cannot believe and God will not give you the Spirit. So what he was saying was that, have you received since you believed? Say amen. So when you believe, what should you do? Receive. Because you can't believe without the Spirit. It is the Spirit that brings you into the experience of the new birth. So he now says, have you received since you believed? He didn't say, has God given you? That's why when we want to get you filled with the Spirit, we don't ask God to fill you. Somebody says, why? You can't be filled if you're not a believer. And if you're a believer, therefore, we lay hands to help you receive or lay hold. So the journey is shorter because we're no longer trying to get God or to persuade him to give you what he has already given you. We're only helping you to what? Receive. Hallelujah. So if you don't speak with tongues this morning, and you're here and you're already saved, you will speak this morning. You will speak this morning. Why? Because as we're teaching, understanding comes, you simply take what belongs to you. Let me put it this way. If you are a member, how many of us went to primary schools that we had class 5A, 5B, 5C, 5D? If you're on class, which is J or K, you went to public school. Anything beyond E, I don't understand. I'm sure some class we went to M. The one I know is E. A, B, C, D, E. Even F is somehow. Okay, I'm just joking. Now, here's the issue. Sometimes in a class, they can have certain gifts that are to be distributed to the students. Okay? Now, what qualifies you to receive in that class is if you're a member of that class. That's all. So let's assume for one reason that be because of health issues, you didn't come to class when the headmistress of the school, because of maybe one of the wealthy parents, decided to bestow upon the school certain gifts. And one of them is, let's say, every student in primary five is meant to be given a mug, for instance. Okay? So you were not absent the day it was being distributed. What is the qualification for receiving? Be a member of class 5A, for illustration. Okay? So you were not present, so you didn't even know. But you now started seeing mugs in the hands of your classmates. And you know, it's someone when you're the only one who doesn't have what they all have. So you now ask questions. You now tell you, oh, you didn't come on Friday. That was the day you said you felt you couldn't come and everything. That they came to class and they gave all of us that. This is all us. We also saw it though. They just gave us. And I say, you're only the teacher now. Go and ask teacher. When you get to the teacher already knows why you didn't come. Teacher knows you were not well. But the teacher may not necessarily remember to give you. I mean, you know something. But when you go and ask, you won't go to the teacher and beg. Hallelujah. You won't go to the teacher and start wailing or reciting, my name's Ha. The teacher knows your name. The teacher reserved the cup for you. When you go and receive the cup, you go and take it. That is what it means to be filled with respect. It means, why have you not spoken in tongues? The answer is very simple. You have not spoken. Is that a mystery? No. What should you do? Speak. When? When you are ready. That's all. Will God move me? The move that God moved Jesus to give you the Spirit, you don't want to know how much that move was. The move was so strong, he went to hell. The move was ongoing, he came out. The move was ongoing, he ascended. The move was ongoing, he sat. There's no greater move. And he did all that for one thing, that men upon the earth might be filled with the Spirit. John chapter 7 verse 38 and verse 39 says that that last day, that great day of Jesus, verse 7, Jesus cried out saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But since this speaking of the Spirit, which they that believe should receive, he spoke about it futuristically. In other words, Jesus was speaking about something that will happen after he rises from the dead. But in John chapter 7, when he was speaking, he was yet to go to the cross. He now says, this speaking of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. They that believe is a phrase that refers to those that will accept that he's risen. What does it mean for you to accept that Jesus rose from the dead? It means you are saved. Hallelujah. Could you believe when Jesus was upon the earth? No, because he wasn't yet risen, because he hadn't yet died. So he said, this speaking of the Spirit, which they that believe, when will they believe? When he rises from the dead. That's when they can believe. You can't believe it's something that hasn't happened. So he was prophesying about what will happen, that his resurrection will signal the release and the giving of something, which is the Spirit. Then those who believe in him will receive the Spirit. Say amen. Amen. So this speaking of the Holy Ghost, which did I believe we should receive? For the Spirit was not yet given. Again, that is not English. Written in it, but not English. The Spirit was not yet given simply means that the Spirit was not yet shed forth or poured forth. Not just, you see, you can't look at it as giving in normal English, like I just give you something like a Bible. No. The word there is to release something in its full measure. Something you have been waiting for the circumstance and situation to be right before you can release it. Hallelujah. So, what was a condition that needed to be met for the Spirit to be given? Jesus had to rise. What does needed to be met? Jesus had to be seated and glorified. So, when it says, this speaking of the Spirit, which did that believe on you should receive, for that same Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. That means that when the Spirit was given, it was because Jesus had been what? Glorified. So another name for the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus' glorification. Glory to God. So you have living in you now the Spirit that glorifies Jesus. Why is that so important? When you yield to that Spirit, whatever will come out of your mouth will be something that points to Jesus' glorification. That's so important. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 19, now we're reading. This is how the Ephesian church started. Look at how they began. Verse 2 again, but he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Paul summarized John's ministry. When he says unto John's baptism, he wasn't talking just about water. He was talking about a message. What was John's message? I am going to baptize you as a type, as a shadow of the one that Jesus is going to give. So repentance simply means that you will believe on him and then the real will come. Okay, so he summarized John the Baptist's ministry. It wasn't just water, it was a message. Hallelujah. Notice this, after the baptism which John preached. That phrase means there's a message that John preached, and it was a message of repentance so that they can believe on he that is to come. That was what they believed in when Paul met them at Ephesus. They were disciples. So look at what Paul now said. Verse 3. Then Paul said, John already baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, we should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they had this, they did what? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice there's no mention of water there. So the baptism there is that they now believed on him that was to come, who by this time had already come and had gone. Hallelujah. You can imagine, they were believing that he will come. They didn't know he had come and gone. So Paul went to tell them, what John told you to believe in has happened. You are free to believe. So they were baptized in the name of God, seems like they got saved. And look at what happened next. Then Paul now, when Paul had laid what? His hands upon them. Look at what happened. The Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues. And if you sit down with this verse as a newly saved believer, you should never have a problem flowing with the Spirit. They had never done it before.
The very first time, Paul just explained, this is what you are meant to have. The Bible says, the very first time, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So notice it was tongues plus something. The tongues led them to prophecy. Actually, what it means is that they spoke with tongues and interpreted, which means prophecy. Say amen. So they spoke in tongues, interpreted, and Bible calls that prophecy. And that was the first time. The coaching wasn't long. It wasn't secret coaching. It was something that was inherent. Something they weren't able to do because they simply what? Yielded. In Acts of 10, Cornelius' house, they spoke in tongues and magnified God, which means they interpreted it by giving praises. That means, therefore, that when, if men follow the teaching of God's word and you follow the prompting, you will find it the easiest thing on earth to yield to the Spirit. Notice that was the first time. So if people for the first time were able to yield, it means that with the understanding of God's word that they were taught, they found it easy to flow. Hallelujah. Say with me, flowing with the Spirit is the easiest thing ever. Is the easiest thing ever. Hallelujah. Is the easiest thing ever. Anyone can do it that is saved. That's what it means. So Acts chapter 2 again now. Are you coming along this morning? Good stuff. Because like I said, if you look at the experience, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak. They began to speak, all of them, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what did Jesus tell them? The only way you can know, because Bible says for 40 days he taught them of things pertaining to the kingdom. He told them, wait for the promise of the Father. How do we now know the details of what he taught them? Because the details were not recorded clearly. We just had summaries. When Bible says he taught them of things pertaining to the kingdom, that's a summary. He told them, wait for the promise of the Father, that is a summary. But their actions show that they are acting on instructions. The instructions can be understood by their actions. 120 people, when they were filled, they did the same thing. They started by speaking with tongues. And from tongues, they moved into other things. So who told them to do it that way? It must have been the one who taught them. It must have been Jesus. Bible says, they began. They were filled. They began. That also means, listen carefully, that if they were filled and they didn't begin, we won't know they were filled. Because they were filled and they began. So begin is their response. Because Jesus taught them, this is how to respond. Glory to God. Let me put it another way. Most of the time when we hear and the Holy Ghost fell on them, what we usually, the image that comes is that something happened physically and shook them and moved them. If that was what really happened, they wouldn't need 40 days teaching. Think about it. If every time spirit manifests, there's a vibration. Won't you know? You'd be like Samson. The Bible even says, even Samson had to shake to be conscious of the spirit presence. And he didn't have the spirit when you have the spirit. Think about it. If the spirit just only always comes, do you think there will be a need for shaking? So Samson's response to the grace that God gave him was what? He will shake. What will happen? As he goes forth, that means there was a response of faith, even in somebody under the Old Testament. Now, the Bible now says they were all filled and they began to speak. So that means following the instruction that Jesus gave, they allowed themselves to come under the influence of the Spirit. Go back to that Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine. What means what? Excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves. Let me now ask. If the first thing they did when they were filled was to speak, will you be able to experience the infilling without speaking? You did get my question. Should I say that again? If the first thing they did in Acts 2 verse 4 is that they were filled, they began to speak, then Paul instructs by the Spirit to the church. Notice in Acts 19, he laid hands upon them, they were filled, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. In Ephesians 5 verse 18, what did he tell them to do? Be not drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourself. So what's the first manifestation of you being filled? What's the first manifestation? So if you shut up, will anything happen? No. That means the first way you express the Spirit is what? Through speaking. That means that it's within your control. Guess what? No one can force you to speak. The same way, have you gotten drunk accidentally? Maybe when you lack knowledge. Nobody gets drunk accidentally. You get drunk by staying much with the bottle. And after a while, you know your level. But how do you get filled with spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms. What are you doing? You're already filled. What are you not doing? You are coming under the influence of that spirit. How do you get under the influence? You start speaking. How did they do that in Acts chapter 2 verse 4? They spoke with tongues. Hallelujah. They spoke with tongues. So you cannot circumvent. Open your mouth to speak if you want to fulfill the scripture that says keep being filled with the spirit. Because speaking is the primary way a believer yields to the spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the spirit? It means to come under the influence of the spirit. So let me put it this way. Your spirit, because you are a new creation, is indwelled by the spirit of God. The Bible now says that you can submit yourself to that influence. How do you do that? You start speaking. What is the first way you start speaking? They began to speak with other tongues as we see gave them utterance. Out of those tongues, they now had psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's where it begins. Glory to God. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Let's look at the experience again. And we'll round up shortly. But I want us to see that this is so practical. This is so true. We were not told in detail. What did Jesus tell them? But we can tell from the activity. This is what they must have been taught. Because do you know what it means for 120 people to do the same thing? Think about it. They tarried in Jerusalem like he said they should tarry. They were praying like he said they should pray. They were together in temple like he said they should be in temple. And at exactly 6 a.m. they were filled and they began to speak. To get 120 people to do the same thing, they must have been taught the same thing. So they yielded together and then they began to have what Jesus said they wouldn't have. I'm convinced that Jesus must have taught them from Isaiah 28 that for with stammering lips and on our tongue will I speak unto these people. He must have shared Isaiah 28 because Isaiah spoke about tongues. He's the only one who really spoke about tongues. He must have spoken in that. This is what Isaiah also said, with stammering lips and on our tongues. So if your tongue comes out by stammering, is scriptural. He said, Pastor, my own tongue just la la lobo 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 la 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 la. Praise God. With stammering lips and another tongue. Now notice, stammering lips is the beginning. Stammering lips is not the end. Stammering lips means you may start that way, it will soon become fluent if you continue. Okay? It's only after 10 years la lo la lo lo la with stammering lips that's beginning and another tongue. Another tongue means clear language. Clear language means that it's your responsibility. Do you know that God doesn't give Mrs. Rufus a better tongue than he gives you? You know, not God is not the one responsible for why your English has a heavy accent. You know, it's you. And where you go, have you noticed it's you? It's you. Let's tell you, it is you. It's where you come from. You know God's not responsible for that. Do you know when you're speaking tongues? Do you know God is not responsible for how your tongue flows? Because he said they were all filled. If the spirit they were filled with is the same, it means it is in the yielding that they differ. How many of you agree? Should I say that again? If the spirit they were filled with is the same, and is the same, the Holy Ghost is not twins, it's not triplets. You don't have a spirit that's even from mine. Otherwise, you don't belong to the same body. By one spirit, are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. So if it's by one spirit, that same spirit gave me utterance, gave you utterance. When the utterance is coming out, that is when it's no longer the spirit, it is now you. So Sister Rufus's tongues is more fluent than my own. It's not because God gave her a better tongues. You know what I'm saying? Some people speak tongues beside you. You feel like leaking. Lord, this is somebody speaking. So your own tongue is original. My own is from Mushu. You know the issue? The issue is that yieldedness has a lot to do with it. In other words, when the Bible says they began to speak, That also implies that some started gradually, some started a bit faster. Notice, even after the 11 stood up with Peter, it was see Peter who stood up among the 11. So 11 people stood up with Peter, then Peter stepped out among the 11. So among the 12 now, because he was a 12th person. That means that Peter was more bold. Hallelujah. He was more bold. So it is safe to say that likely Peter was one of the people who first began. And his own beginning encouraged the others to also begin when he gave room to the utterance to come out. So when the tongue is now coming out, let me put it this way. The sound that your tongue make when it's coming out is your sound. What the Spirit gives is what? Utterance. How it comes out, who determines it? You. You know, some of you didn't come out from circles where when you are prophesying, it can't be spiritual if you don't make noise. If the Spirit of God is really prophesying through you, there's a way you make noise that will let them know that it is of God. You don't know. Don't say the Lord. Don't say the Lord. Don't say the Lord. You are not. That's how we learned. Because even people that I saw as example, that's how they operate. And I don't know why 90% of them were women. It convinced me of one single thing. Men are more spiritual than men. No, I'm sorry. Most of people who started yielding for us were women in our prayer meetings. 1993. God is moving. God is moving. God is moving. That's how the prophecy starts. Now, remember that the reason why they acted that way, should I tell you why they acted that way? It was because the circle they belonged to, that's what they were taught. Whichever circle you grew up in, whatever you are taught, you know you always take it as doctrine when it's not. So when you are even feeling prompted to act differently, you say, if I act like this, maybe they say it's not God. So you now find yourself doing like it. So even when you don't feel like, the last thing you feel like is shouting, you just say, let me shout from the shout because that they can believe that it's God. Because I wonder how you shout out, even what happens the day you have lost your voice. The Lord is moving. No, it's your voice that is moving. That's the problem. Because the Bible doesn't even tell us that anybody shouted in Acts chapter 2. They just said they spoke with tongues. It wasn't God, it wasn't Oski. You understand? So the issue is that a lot of times the company you belong to influences the way you, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Have you noticed in this church that we hardly ever say, thus said the Lord? Have you noticed? Have you noticed that? Is the Lord saying, yes? Do you understand with thus said the Lord? No. Hi, the Lord. I'm tired of you. We just signal the ushers. Please help that brother to the back. We're also tired of him. Because it's against scripture for the Lord to be tired of his people. Why? Because they may not be schooled in the things of the Spirit. So notice again, listen carefully, because as we go now, we explain more. Notice that when Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, for them to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5 is a second to the last chapter in the book of Ephesians. There are six chapters. He has spent the whole of chapter 1 telling them that they were blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's not coincidental. That's the content they were meant to focus on, meditate on. And he began to explain what those blessings were. He said, don't you know you have been accepted in the beloved? That you are holy and without blame before him. You have been predestinated unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ unto the Father. So they were swimming in the revelation of how God had blessed them and placed them as sons. In chapter 2, he continued, and you as a quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the principle of the air, the Spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. He began to explain to them that they were quickened together, they were raised together, they were made to sit together. He told them, you are no longer strangers, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles. In chapter 3, he began to speak to them that the revelation that he had, how he got that revelation, that when they read, they will understand his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He spoke to them about the fact that I'm bowing my knees for you to understand one thing, that it's through the church that the wisdom of Christ made manifest spiritual powers. He says, you are citizens of, you are on earth, but you're already citizens of heaven. Paul spoke those things in chapter 3. In chapter 4, he began to speak to them, and he gave gifts unto men. He spoke to them about the fact that it's the same fire that works all through every one of us. Chapter 5, he began to speak to them about certain fundamental things about their work. So all these things had gone on before he now says, be not drunk with wine. With the Spirit. But be what? Filled with the Spirit. Why should you be drunk with wine? Wine will deceive you. Wine intoxicates. You will be inspired negatively. He now says, don't you understand that the same way you deliberately desire to take wine to the point of intoxication, you can yield to the Spirit to the point where you are influenced by the Spirit or you have Spirit-controlled actions. What will determine what those actions will be? He has already told you from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. So if any man will prophesy or will bring forth the psalm, what will be the content? What he has spoken of in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Glory to God. If a man is trying to yield to the Spirit and he doesn't have revelation of God's word, he is going to just say whatever comes to mind because his mind is not renewed. That's why in certain circles, the only prophecy they give is one of destruction. The Lord is very angry with his people, blaspheming. The Lord is angry, he's angry. He's coming next week. Nobody here except two can make it. How can somebody look at the whole of Redeemer and say that the Lord showed me that only two people there will be saved? That's demonic. You know something? So why are people filled with that? Their minds have only been renewed with God's word. Because the Spirit will never speak contrary to the word. Glory to God. Oh, it's God. And so believers who are still shaking, who are still trying to get their work right, the minute they hear that, they're saying the whole of Redeem. Pastor, did you hear? They said the whole of Redeem, only two people shall be shaved. And he's already shaking. And then scriptures begin to come to mind. Scriptures that should fill your consciousness so that when you are yielding to the Spirit, those scriptures help you to express the Spirit of God. Glory to God. You were quickened together. You were raised together. You are made to sit together. There's an eternal togetherness with you and Christ. He calls you Christ. He calls you righteousness. He calls you the temple of God. You, that's what he calls you. How can Christ go to hell? How can righteousness make it to the pit? It's because their minds are not renewed with the truth of God's word. And that's what gives back to string prophecies. So when you're filled with the Spirit and you're speaking, the content of your speech is a revelation that's already contained in the scriptures. It's not something new. That's why 90% of what we prophesy in the New Testament, we are speaking forth. We are not, so to speak. We are not foretelling. We are foretelling. Foretelling means from what has happened, we are speaking forth. Foretelling means to predict what will. And that's what some people think prophecy is. No. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, which is hymns, I mean spiritual songs. Then singing and what? Making. So when the songs come, they will glorify Jesus. When the songs come, they will express what God has accomplished for you in Christ Jesus. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is it that condemns? It is Christ that died. Hallelujah. Who also is risen again? Bible says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That word love is an active phrase. That means what is love accomplished on the cross is what made you and I more than conquerors. Through him who has loved us. Not who will love us. Not even who loves us. Who has? His love is in the past. So that you can reap the benefits of that love today. We are more now than conquerors. Through him who loves. How was his love demonstrated? He went to the cross. He rose from the dead. He sat so that you can sit. He sat so that you can eternally be at rest. You are now more than a conqueror. Glory to God. You didn't have to fight. He fought and said, you are the one who won. It can't get any better. Do you understand what that means? I thought your money conqueror. He fought, he won. He now said, actually, it's recorded that you are the one who won. So with him now, you are now also part of the head over principalities and powers. You are complete in him. You find your fullness in him. When you are prophesying now, prophecy should not be strange. It should bubble up on the inside. Words will fit that utterance and give expression. That's why we can prophesy at will. What does that mean? They began to speak. Gisu Grano, Pali Grasti Lekshia, Gisu Zobrakato, and O Safrati Alakishte, Ekanaku, the O Sande Ekik Elishtegia. And when they bring bad news before you, and when they sound the alarm that things are going wrong, open the back door, bring out the dance, bring out the song, bring out the laughter, display it before them. See the enemy take flight in the face of the rejoicing that's in your heart. For your song can never end. Your rejoicing knows no bounds. For his victory is from one end of eternity to the other. And so in his victory, you have boldness. In his victory, you have confidence. In his victory, you have eternal assurance. His victory is your eternal security. Be bold, therefore, in him. For there is no need that will not be met. Be bold in him. For there is no promise that hasn't been fulfilled. Be bold in him. For there is no outcome you desire that will not be so. For he is the confidence of every saint. Hallelujah. You know, as we go on, we'll see. You see, notice there was no hesitation on my part, because there's no need to hesitate. You were born into a different civilization. Hallelujah. Tongues is a language of a different civilization. When we begin to operate where we come from, strange things happen. Glory to God. Whatever situations, we turn around circumstances at will. No wonder Paul was saying, did you see what happened the day I came? And church started. He now says, don't let that be coincidental. Don't let it be a one-off. He says, constantly be filled. Let things come out. I have goodies to share. Hallelujah. I have victory to display. I have blessings to give out to people. Let it come out willingly. Let it come out consciously. Let it come out deliberately. Keep being filled with the Spirit. Maintain a spirit-filled existence. Glory to God. You know, I saw someone now that the door was shut and others went in and you were not able to go in. There's another door that's bigger than the one you wanted to enter that's been opened up to you right now. It's been opened up to you right now. So do not fret, do not be disappointed. Do not be weary. Do not allow your shoulders to droop down. Don't allow a sad thought to enter your heart. Understand, on your behalf does the master walk. On your behalf are the angels making things possible. On your behalf, and better things and mightier things will yet manifest on your behalf. He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall you not with him also freely give us all things? Glory to God forever. So keeping filled is as serious as winning souls. It's as serious as studying the word. It's as serious as praying. Keep being filled. Maintain the spiritual life. If you don't want to fall for deception, if you don't want the challenge to come that would deceive you into thinking, I may not make it. You have already made it. It's too late to fail. Christ is proof that you have made it. Where he sits is proof you have forever made it. That's why you are more than a conqueror. You are not one of those who is about to make it. Have you ever heard those who are preaching, you will make it, you will make it? That's not our gospel. You have made it, you have made it, you have made it. That's our gospel. It's too late for you to fail now. Glory to God. Don't look back, look ahead. Draw from the rich resources. He has given you more than enough. You have been enriched by him with all utterance and all knowledge. Give expression, keep being filled. Let the rivers of his pleasure saturate your soul. See new images, see new pictures, see possibilities where men are seeing failure. You are the favored one. Hallelujah. You are the favored. Lift up your hands and say, I am the favored one. I am highly favored in Christ Jesus. I have been accepted in the beloved. I stand head and shoulders above all challenges. Christ is my recognition. Christ is my identity. Christ is my standing. Christ is my victory. In him I can shout. In him I can praise. In him I can rejoice at all times, forever and ever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the month of June. We don't lack miracles. We harvest miracles every single day. Miraculous provisions are ours. Glory to God.
When it comes to the issue of health, it doesn't matter what they say the condition is. There's an irreversible victory that is yours and mine. It is not possible for Christ to die again. There is no medical condition in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the exceeding greatness of his power, that cannot be reversed. And it's being reversed right now. It's being reversed right now. Every health condition is being reversed right now. You receive health. You receive wholeness. You receive soundness in your body. In the name of Jesus, vitality is yours. Strength is yours. Life is yours. Every part that is missing is restored. In the name of Jesus, you walk in sound health. You walk in sound health all the days of your life. There is a vigor at work in you. In the name of Jesus, you are alive in him. Whatever cannot be found in him cannot be found in you. In the name of Jesus, say bye-bye to every pain. Say bye-bye to every discomfort. Health and vitality are yours. Every infection is paralyzed. Every sickness is destroyed. Every disease dies right now. The life of God has been manifest in your body. In the name of Jesus, you experience vitality and wholeness all your days. You will not die but live. You will live and fulfill your days. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forever. Lift up your hands and give him praise this morning. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy.